We are doing the Rambam and Pirkei Avot, and we're up to Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Aleph, third chapter, the 11th Mishnah. Rabbi Hananya ben Dosa Omer, Kol Shirat Chetzo Kodemet LeChochmato, all whose fear of sin precedes their wisdom, Chochmato Mitkayemet, their wisdom lasts. V'chol SheChochmato Kodemet LeYirat Chetzo, and all whose wisdom precedes their fear of sin, En Chochmato Mitkayemet, their wisdom does not last. Says the Rambam, Deval Zeh Muskam Gam Etzel HaFilosofim. This concept is agreed upon by the philosophers as well. Ki HaHergel Bamidot HaNa'alot, forming habits of good traits, Im Kadmu LaChochma, if that precedes the wisdom, that a person's habits are positive, Ad She'ehelo Bekach Tchuna Chazaka, till he reaches a point that it has the strength of his nature, that's his strong nature. Velamat chokhma acheichen, and then he comes to learn wisdom. Asher tizalzeu alotan atovot, so then the wisdom, what does he learn? He learns about how he should behave, but he's already worked on having that as part of his nature. Hareza mosif kesher b'chokhma, so then the fact that he prepared himself, that he's a good person even before he approaches the wisdom, so then it adds to his bond to the wisdom, the ahava ba, and it causes him to have greater love for the wisdom, v'lehitot lehosif ba, v'lehitut lehosif ba, and he is excited to add wisdom, kivan she'imoraoto lema she'ya ragil, because the wisdom spurs him on to doing what he's used to doing. If a person lives a positive lifestyle, if he's accustomed to living a positive lifestyle, and then he learns about how he should live, and it goes in line with what he's accustomed to, so then he gets very excited. He's all for it. אבל אם קדמו תכונות רעות, but if he was used to living, he was used to bad tendencies. A guy grew up in the jungles of Africa. He's used to being part of the rebels, murdering, plundering, doing everything evil. And then he comes and he discovers, oh, this is how God wants me to live. I can't murder, I can't steal, I can't live life the way I'm used to living. It's going to be very tough. And then he comes to learn, so then he approaches the wisdom and he says, what do I get from this? I can't do everything I enjoy. It's going to weigh down on him, and ultimately he will leave it. Meaning, on the one hand, we say we got to do what's right. On the other hand, if a person begins with a life that's very close to what's right, then he has a much better chance of sticking to it. And that's how the Rambam explains the concept of Yirat Chetmo Kodemet LeChochmato. And we see this all the time. You walk in and you learn about how you're supposed to behave. And if you're not used to it, so then it's very, very tough. Look, you learn that it's not right to throw your garbage on the street. But if you're used to throwing your garbage on the street, so then it's difficult. Why shouldn't I throw my garbage on the street? I finished smoking a cigarette, I throw the stub on the street. I finished eating a snack, I throw the wrapper on the street. You tell a person it's not right, so fine. That's one thing. But when a person comes and studies Torah and suddenly he learns about a million things that the Torah tells him what's right and what's wrong, so then, if he hasn't been brought up in a manner that's similar to the way of the Torah, that's very, very, very difficult. It's very difficult for it to last. Because day in and day out, he has to do mind over matter and fight his tendencies. So that's not to say he can't fight those tendencies. The truth is he can, but it's going to be all the harder. And that's one of the favors we could do our children when we have a home where the closer our home is to the Torah, the more it's going to be their second nature. This is one of the greatest assets a child has when he grows up in a good home. Later on, when he'll study and he'll see how positive it is, it'll be much easier for him to refine his behavior because he's very close to it. He's already been brought up with norms that are very similar to what the Torah wants of him. A guy who grows up in the jungle and he comes here and then he learns about what the Torah wants out of him. It's very, very, very tough. We see it all the time. If there's one area... What?
People from the jungle.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. But, you know, I I was in the hospital today. So, you see, you meet all kinds of people, very, very nice people. But they're walking around like they're in the jungle. You know, you walk in Africa and you see people wearing little hides around their waist. You walk in certain neighborhoods and you're like you're in the jungle. I was standing there thinking, you know what, it's like I'm in the jungle. Everyone's wearing little hides around themselves. I don't know. To me, it seems like the jungle. You see how people talk. See how people behave. I feel like I'm dealing with animals. Yeah. You see, even the relationships they form, it's all about physical. It has nothing to do with what the Torah tells us, how you build a relationship. I was sitting there and I felt so bad for these people. There was a couple whose child had their operation just before our son. So this is the second time we had a son doing this operation, so we were experienced. So the wife asked me a question. So I told her, well, you should probably stick around with your son, but when your husband comes, he could get this form, that form. So she tells me, he's not my husband, he's my partner. I'm not used to such concepts. What? So I'll tell you that's a different class, what's wrong with that. But you're asking me about, if you want, we could discuss it later. But you ask me about, are people coming here from the jungle? Sure they're coming from the jungle. The world outside, when you're not living a Torah lifestyle, it's very close to the jungle. Yeah, it's... there's no... you speak to people about loyalty. A guy tells me he's planning on quitting his job. I ask him, do you think you're going to tell your boss? He says, no, why should I tell my boss? So I said, well, it'll affect him, you know. He's going to have... he has to find a replacement here. Maybe you should have some loyalty to the place you work in. So he says, why? Okay, go explain why. You know, a person who asks that question, you know, you're starting 10 steps back. Yeah, literally a dog-eat-dog world. I always, when I was a kid, I used to say, if you say it's a dog-eat-dog world, then I guess you're a dog. That's how you view other human beings. Question, dog-eat-dog world. I don't know, the Torah lifestyle teaches us a refined way of behaving and a refined way of viewing our fellow man in relationships. I very often we have guests in our house, they go to the bathroom, they come out of the bathroom, they come straight to the table to eat. They don't bother washing their hands. So it's halacha, you have to wash your hands after you come out of the bathroom, but you'd think in a refined world, people come out of the bathroom, they'd wash their hands. I don't know if you've been in an airport, but they once did a statistic. In airports all over, the vast majority of people don't. So how come? You know what that means. If they're touching the food you're touching, it makes you wonder. So the Rambam is telling us that that's the pshat in the Mishnah. It's not the way others explain this Mishnah. But the Rambam says, when the Mishnah says the fear of sin has to precede the wisdom, the Rambam says if the person is accustomed to living a lifestyle that's refined, that's more similar to the lifestyle of the Torah, so then when he learns the wisdom, when he learns the proper way of living his life, it's going to be easier for him. And if a person comes from a background where he's lived a life that's the antithesis of the life of Torah, so then he's going to have a very, very hard time because he's constantly going to feel like the Torah is weighing down on him. That's how the Rambam explains this Mishnah. Mishnah Yudbet. Hu haya omer. He, Rabbi Hananya ben Doza, used to say, Kol shemasav merubin mechochmato, whoever's actions, all whose actions are more than their wisdom, chochmato mitkeyemet, their wisdom lasts. Bechol shechochmato merubam emasav, and all whose wisdom is more than their actions, en chochmato mitkeyemet, their wisdom does not last. So there's no Rambam's commentary on this. The commentators say that a person has to learn for the sake of performing. If your learning is just theoretical, so then you rarely perform what you learn. So then the wisdom doesn't last. But if your learning is for the sake of performance, so then you're constantly performing what you're learning, you're outperforming what you're learning, and you find yourself performing much more than you are learning, which is the way normal life should be. I mean, every movement you could do acts of kindness. Everything we do, there are ways of doing in a positive way. So then a person's actions should outdo his wisdom, and then the wisdom lasts, because the wisdom is true wisdom. That's the way he lives, leads his life. Why Yalmer, he used to say, Kol shuach habriot nochai menu, whoever, all, who the spirit of God's creatures are pleasant with him, they're happy with him, huach hamakom nochai menu, then the spirit of the omnipresent is also pleasant with him, is happy with him. But if the spirit of the creatures is not pleasant with him, then the spirit of the omnipresent is also not pleasant with him, is also not happy with him. I have tada. So this is again a very important rule. If a person finds himself constantly in fights, so he should know that if he doesn't get along with people or God's creatures, so then God, he doesn't get along with God either. Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas omer, Sheina she shacharit. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas taught, sleeping in the morning, obviously it means sleeping into the morning, beyond the morning, ve'yayin she tzoraim, and drinking wine at noon, ve'sichat ha'iladim, and having idle chatter with children, ve'shivat knesiot shlame ha'aretz, and joining the gatherings of the common folk, when they just gather to shoot pool or drink beer, or they're not doing anything positive with their time. So these things are things that really they're things that waste a person's time. Sleeping late, drinking wine in the middle of the day, sitting in the, having idle chatter with children, sitting in a grouping of people that aren't doing anything with their time. These things, motzin t'adam min olam, they take a person out of the world. Says the Rambam, amar shadvim alalu mevatlim t'amalot shebadam. So he came to teach that these things, they annul whatever attributes a person might have attained, that sheitzim min olam, till ultimately he leaves the world, v'hum mafsid, and he loses. I think he means shortening his life. He means that a person is going to go downhill. People don't realize it. People say, I'm just taking a break. What do you mean taking a break? What do you have to go to the bar for? Like a guy once told me, he said, when he became Jewish, so he was used to ending his day by going to the bar. That's how he lived his life until he became Jewish. And when he became Jewish, that was second nature to him. Then at one point, he said, wait a second, Torah lifestyle doesn't approve of this. I should stop. So the first day was very hard. The second day was also hard. But by the third day, he started noticing that he had time on his hands. And he started being productive in other directions. He got a second job. He volunteered. His whole life took on a new form. Because suddenly, he wasn't thinking about how do I get to the bar, or his nights weren't filled with this. He had room to fill his nights with positive things. So these are things which, at first glance, a person thinks, I'm taking a break. What's the big deal? If you need a break, sit down and take a break. Go for a walk. There's a normal form of taking a break. Then there's focusing on doing nothing. It's like sitting in front of the TV or just surfing the web. That's a person's taking time to focus on doing nothing. That takes a person out of the world.
Is it meant like overdoing it or?
So yeah, the Rambam himself wrote in the introduction to the Pirkei Avos, and it's brought in halacha, that a person sometimes needs a break. So he goes for a stroll, he takes a nap. Oh, that's normal, that's good. A person does sometimes need to let his mind take a break. That's fine. But in a normal way. We live in a time where there's a whole industry and people are focused on how to take a break, how to take vacation. Don't forget, the Torah gives us vacations all the time. Friday, Shabbos, we're off. Yom Tovim, we're off. We have a lot of time to take positive breaks if a person wants to. We come to shul, that's also a form of a break. You focus on davening, but you're not doing your everyday thing. You're focusing, you're connecting to your Creator. There are times when a person has a break. There are also times when a person needs a break aside from these breaks. Fine, that's fine. But if a person just walks into a bar for the sake of taking a break, I don't know. I think that's like focusing, giving focus. If a person goes into a coffee shop and sits with someone else for a cup of coffee, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. A bar is a totally different atmosphere. It's like, let me sink into this mode of taking a break. Taking a break should be just that. I met a person, I don't remember, a few weeks ago, and he told me he was in Merkaz Harav, and he remembers the meals, and he remembers the beds, and he remembers the dorm rooms. And I thought I was going to fall off the chair. The guy was in Merkaz Harav when you had great geniuses learning there. He had the Rav HaNazir in his time, he had Rav Kook. And all he could remember is the food they served in the meals and the beds. That's all he could talk about. So I'm asking myself, this is what the guy got out of the place. You're in a yeshiva with giants, and all you could remember is what were the meals like? What were the beds like? It's terrible. So I think there are people who live their life like that. Everything, they focus on the breaks, on vacation. Where was it night, and where was it with this barn? Is that life? Life should have a little bit more value. A break is just that. It gives us strength to continue. But it's not an end, it's a means. Hey, you follow what I'm saying? So I think that when a person goes into a bar, he makes the break into an end. Whereas taking a break, even going to a coffee shop, that's a means. Okay, you stop your day, you take a break, and you continue. But it's not that you're living your day in order to end it in the coffee shop. So I think that's the concept the Mishnah is teaching us. I think so. I think that's how the Rambam saying it also. Mishnah Yudalit. Rabbi Elazar Modei Yomer. Rabbi Elazar, the Modei, he used to say, Hamchalel et HaKodashim. He who desecrates the holy food, Vamvazet HaMoadot, or disgraces Chol HaMoed, Vamefer Brito Shel Avraham Avinu, or he who breaches the covenant of Avraham Avinu, Vamalbin Tnei Chavero Berabim, or someone who whitens his friend's face, he shames him publicly. Yeah, Chazal say, when a person gets embarrassed, his face becomes red. And then, after it becomes red, after there's a rush of blood to his face, all that blood leaves, and his white face becomes ash. Becomes white. V'amgalet panim b'torah. And the person who reveals faces in the Torah, afalpi sheyesh biyado ma'asim tovim, even though he might have in his hand all kinds of good deeds, en lo chelek la'olam haba, he will not have a portion in the world to come. Says the Rambam, malbin pnei chavero, hamachlim et chavero u'machpiro. He who whitens his friend's face means he shames him. Umgale panim b'Torah, he reveals faces in the Torah, says the Rambam, Hu haover al mitzvot haTorah beparhesia. That's a reference to someone who blatantly, openly transgresses the mitzvot of the Torah. Uvefirsum. He does it in a manner where it's publicized. Bezeo tachlit hakfira. This is the essence of being an apostate. Kmo shamar yitala v'anefesh asher taaseh v'yad rama. Just like the Torah describes it, he who does things with an outstretched hand, he does things brazenly, openly. So that's a megale panim b'Torah, someone who brazenly transgresses. Now, a person is going to do something wrong, should do it privately, quietly. We don't publicize what we do wrong. We shouldn't do things that are wrong, but if we're already doing them, so we should do them quietly. V'inyan megale panim, so then how does this work that we say he reveals faces? So it means shem gale panav be'azut, that he reveals his face. When he's transgressing, he reveals his own face brazenly. And this is how our sages explained this in the Jerusalem Talmud on Peah. Amru, our sages said, "Megale panim b'Torah." What does it mean? He who reveals face in Gemara is Gemara. He who reveals face in the Torah, however, al divrei Torah b'faresia. It's a reference to he who transgresses the words of the Torah publicly. Ki Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, like the king, one of the last kings of Judea, Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu. What is Mefer Brito? He who breaches the covenant of Avraham Avinu, Zah Moshech Lo Ola. That's a person who pulls back the skin so that it seems like he has a foreskin. So, what does that mean? The Rambam says it's vehu mi shelo nimol begodlo im lomar leoto bekatnuto. The Rambam says this is a reference to someone who did not have a circumcision as a baby, and he refuses to have the circumcision when he's an adult. That's how the Rambam learns. That's mefer brito. It's not that he had a circumcision and he pulls back the skin to cover up. But rather, the Rambam says it means he's just uncircumcised, and he remains uncircumcised, even as an adult. Over there, the Gemara says, all the things our sages say, whoever does them does not have a portion to the world to come. Amru, our sages said, Manan kaimin. How do we set this up? Im b'shasa tshuva. If a person did tshuva after he did any one of these sins, en chadavar shomed bifnei baal tshuva. Nothing stands in the way of a baal tshuva. If someone does tshuva, even if he brazenly transgressed, even if he shamed his fellow man publicly, even if he did not remained uncircumcised or disgraced the holidays or was mechal kachim, anything, if he did tshuva, so nothing stands in the way of tshuva. That's a rule. Here the Jerusalem Talmud says it. But this Mishnah, Ela b'shelo asa tshuva, this is what's this referring to? When does he not have a portion in the world to come? When he does not do tshuva, umet b'yisurin. And then he died, even though God gave him afflictions for his sins. Nonetheless, he never did tshuva. Klomar, shechomer otan averot. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that the weight of these sins is shehizkiru bahen en lochel klolam haba yoter al shar averot. The reason our sages stressed with regard to these sins that he has no portion in the world to come more so than other sins is to tell us shehayisurin im amita enan mechaprin oto, that these are sins that even if a person suffers because of these sins in this world and he dies because of these sins, That still won't give him atonement. A person has to do tshuva for these sins. If he doesn't do tshuva, then he's not going to enter the world to come. Now, this is very important. One of the things the Mishnah said was mevazeh et ha-mo'adot. He who disgraces chol ha-moed. For generations, for centuries already, our sages have been writing and saying that this is an issue. We have to strengthen ourselves regarding this issue. That people take Chol HaMoed lightly. They think Chol HaMoed is a time just to run around in weekday clothes and do all kinds of activities, when really Chol HaMoed is a time that a person is supposed to be learning Torah, supposed to be with his family, eating holiday meals, but treating it like a Yom Tov. We don't do unnecessary work on Chol HaMoed. So that's the one that's probably most relevant to us. Also, malbint nechavro barbin, be very careful not to shame someone publicly. Those are the two that are probably most relevant to us. Tov, so what do we see today? We saw the Mishnah that a person's fear of sin has to precede his wisdom, and the Rambam explained that to mean that when a person's upbringing is in line with the Torah, so then it'll be easier for him to retain the Torah. The more they conflict, the more difficult it is for him to keep the Torah. Then we saw that a person's actions have to outdo his wisdom, meaning his wisdom has to be a wisdom that's applied. It's applied learning the Torah. We live the life of Torah daily, so our actions have to outdo our wisdom. And then we learned that the way a person is viewed by his fellow man is a reflection of how he's viewed by God. So when a person is liked by his fellow man, then it means he's also liked by God. And then we learned that things that are forms of laziness, a focus on taking breaks, like sleeping late, drinking at noon, sitting and just talking idle chatter with kids, sitting with a grouping of people who are aimlessly not doing anything productive, these are things that ultimately take a person out of this world. And we finished with the Mishnah that said the following things: a person who does them and does not repent will not have a portion in the world to come. Even though he might suffer because of these sins, and these sins might cause him to die, he still won't have a portion in the world to come if he doesn't do tshuva. And those sins were: he who disgraces the Chol HaMoed, person who is mechalel, he takes holy foods and he treats it in a non-holy fashion. A person who breaks the covenant of the bris, the circumcision. A person who shames his friend publicly. A person who sins publicly and brazenly. These are things that if a person doesn't do tshuva, the Mishnah says, he does not have a portion in the world to come.